This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Those dulcet tones mean it's hour two of the Max Kellerman Show. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. I am Matt Jones, not Mac Jones, who's the new starter in New England, but Matt Jones. Jeff Dickerson is here, not Eric, Jeff, in for Max. And we are ready to go. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN. Whatever you have to say, chances are it's exciting. So 888-729-3776. We'd be glad to hear from you. We're 1 week away from the NFL season. We start the college football season for real tonight. Don't give me Illinois, Nebraska. I didn't even know Nebraska still played football. Is that still allowed there? They haven't been good in so long.
Signature we have win for Bielema. Come on.
It's 16 games tonight. A lot of them are like Weber State-type games. But there's some big ones, too. I mean, you got Ohio State kicking off against Minnesota. That's a losable game. I mean, I think Ohio State wins, but it's losable if they don't show up. And then you got Central Florida Boise, which is a game that for one of those teams – will eliminate their playoff chances immediately. So that's kind of exciting, Jeff. Are you going to watch either of those?
I'm going to try to watch after my son's football practice wraps up tonight because I got to go out there and make sure that he's getting his work in the right way.
Well, that's going to hurt the ratings for both of these games is your son's football practice.
Like, well, that might take a little bit of a couple points off the shares there. Okay. But, no, I want to watch Ohio State. I want to see what life is like for the Buckeyes after Justin Fields and how things look at the quarterback position. That always intrigues me. I am a Big Ten guy, obviously, biasedly living in the Midwest, but I want to check out Ohio State. Big weekend for the Big Ten, though, with a lot of good games on the schedule.
I can tell you're a Big Ten guy because you got that bratwurst there on your table while we're doing this. But I'm a company man, so I'm going to turn it to ESPN for Central Florida and Boise State. That's what I'm going to do and see these two powerhouse programs of the last 5 to 10 years that are not Power Five. You look at both their schedules. If they can win this game, they have a chance to set up something good. So I'll be fascinated to watch that, see if any of them are for real. Without Josh Heupel, does Central Florida still make themselves good? But honestly, who are we kidding? The NFL is the biggest story. 1 week away, Cowboys-Bucks. We talked a lot about the Bucks in the first hour. Let's do a little Cowboys. I mean, there's a team that's under the radar. Nobody ever talks about the Cowboys. Poor Cowboys. Dak Prescott, you know, for people listening at home, like, I fill in on shows. I'm like the utility man. You know, they bring me in. They're like, here, why don't you do 2 hours on this show? And why don't you do 2 hours on that show? And I'm so glad to do it because I'm so lucky. But what's funny is what ends up happening is every show I get the rundown and it's always Dak Prescott. So I have talked about Dak Prescott's arm until I feel like I could draw it to scale. But are you worried at all about Dak Prescott being ready to play in a week?
I mean, I'm not concerned that he's not going to play in a week, but it's an injury that's not going to get any better by him playing. But Matt, he's got to play. They paid him. I mean, he's the guy. He's coming back off the injury. They got a lot riding on this season. I saw this note today in Todd Archer. We did this whole ceiling floor thing for NFL Nation. They gave us like projected win totals, like best case scenario, worst case scenario. And you had to write a little blurb based off of, you know, why the formula is the way it is. And Todd Archer wrote today that the Cowboys have 10 players that take up $127 million worth of cap space. Can you believe
that's
that? That's unbelievable. So my point is, they are so top-heavy, like, they got to win now. Like, there is so much pressure on them to win. I believe that 100%. And when they said in Hard Knocks that it's not about making the playoffs, it's about winning championships, that has to be their mentality. I don't think they're going to get there, but I think they have a good enough team to make the playoffs. But his arm, it's going to bother him.
I hope on Hard Knocks their goal is to win championships because the goal was clearly not to produce anything interesting on that show. That was the
except
most boring addition. The drone was cool, but my goodness, how could the Dallas Cowboys not have one person on the team that is even moderately fascinating? I mean, I like the one guy who his mom was. I like the two moms for the players that were from other countries. I like them because they were happy, and I like when people are happy. But in general, I found that to be the most boring thing. Now, for the Cowboys, though, they may not care because they've had anything but boring seasons the last few years. I think if they can just keep everybody healthy, the question about how good they'll be will start with, do those players, do Dak and Ezekiel Elliott, do they stay healthy? Because if they don't, the answer is clearly, Jeff, they'll be terrible.
They'll be terrible. And the most interesting thing I learned in Hard Knocks is that Jerry Jones puts salt on his Egg McMuffin. Really, that was like the most interesting thing. I'm like, wow, he's doubling down on that Egg McMuffin, huh? I mean, it's already pretty salty. He's putting more salt on it.
Did you see Jerry Jones say that he ate Whataburger 6 times a week? I would like somebody just to add up all the restaurants he says he eats at, because, like, if he's eating 6 Whataburgers a week, that's going to start to add up for a man that age at some point.
Man, I hope to live to that age with that type of lifestyle. All the burgers and the Johnny Walker Blue, and he still looks good, and he's still got all the money, and he's flying around in helicopters. I mean, gosh, we should all be so fortunate, right?
We should all be so fortunate. Now, speaking of fortunate, the Dolphins are hoping to be fortunate that they'll have a big year from Tua. Coach Brian Flores said this week, Tua is our man.
I will say that Tua is our quarterback. I think that's been the I think he's had a good training camp. I think he's made a lot of progress. I think he's made a lot of improvement. And, you know, we're pleased with where he is. And He's going about his preparations for New England the way he should be, and that's where we are as a team.
I guess that's a vote of confidence, but he's our man now. We'll see how it goes. Give me odds that at the end of the year, what is the percentage chance that we say Tua had a good year and is going to be a very good NFL quarterback?
I would say 40% chance.
Oh, wow.
40% chance. It's low. I think it can happen, but there's too much smoke around the whole Deshaun Watson thing for me to believe that it's not a potential scenario for them down the road. Although, again, personally, I could never see that happening. I mean, if it was my team, just because I think there's so many unknowns with what the NFL is going to do with him, with his whole personal life and his legal situations. But there's just been too much speculation that they could have some interest there. I think Tua needs to play really
well.
Though?
That right after that speculation comes, you get the quote from Flores saying, we want high-quality character individuals. Like, at that point, you're either saying we're not interested, or when we are interested, this quote's going to be thrown right back in my face, right?
Or I might not be here when it comes back in my face. Who knows, right? I mean, until you hear from the ultimate decision-maker, like from ownership on down, I think you still have to lend it a little bit of plausibility that that's something they could be considering. I think Tua has had a very good – I think Brian Flores is right. By the way, all the typing in the background, were they in a courtroom when Brian Flores was giving that press conference? That was kind of distracting.
Listen, in Miami, they still use the old-school dictation. That's a court reporter. Yes.
He's had a good preseason, but it is only preseason games. You'd rather him play well than not play well, of course. But it doesn't mean that just because – his passer rating was what it was in these preseason games, that when the regular season gets here, all the problems are solved. It doesn't work that way.
Well, there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the AFC East. I mean, you got young guys. I mean, when Josh Allen is the grizzled veteran, it's a different kind of division. And I think between Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Tua, it's just a fact. Like, at least one of those guys is not going to make it, in part because they all beat each other out, right? They can't all be good. Right. They can't all make the playoffs. So give it to me, 1, 2, 3 of those guys. Who in 5 years is still helping their team in the division?
I mean, I think Josh Allen is.
Josh Allen. Take him out. I'm talking – well, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. Hold that thought because I want you to rank it. But first, on the Goodyear Hotline – is Keyshawn Johnson, host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. I'll start with this, Keyshawn. I've been listening to you every morning as I drive to my local show, and you really entertain me. You've gotten very good at radio. So, first of all, I'm just going to commend you on that. I'm a hard critique on radio, and you are good at it. You may not care about my opinion, but I'm just telling you, you're good at it. So, I like that.
Well, thank you. I didn't say I didn't care about it, but thank you. You are one of non-many who think I'm good. So
I do think you're good. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. There's some random dude in Kentucky who yell at him. But
hey, do you really honestly think that I give a damn about what somebody in some state thinks about me? Please.
I love it. Well, you spent a lot of time saying over the last couple of weeks that Cam was going to start, that Mac Jones would not. It obviously went the other way. I did not get to hear your comments on that. Maybe other people didn't. I know you were surprised by it. Do you think it was the wrong decision?
No, here's from my standpoint and my point of view. Is Mac Jones going to be a good quarterback in the National Football League? Being certainly seen that way, right? But we got a long ways to go. Cam Newton played well in the preseason, in the offseason. He did everything right opposed to what he was faced with last year. Let's be obvious. Let's be real here. And the obvious answer is they drafted Mac Jones. Cam Newton is not vaccinated, along with they drafted a guy 15th overall. And when you put all those combinations together, Cam Newton was up against it. Okay? He was up against it. And I know he had a bad year last year, but the circumstances, let's use context. The circumstances put him in that position. It's not that he can't play. It's just the circumstances put him in that position. And when you play the way you played last year, the only thing the New England Patriots could do was go draft a quarterback. And Cam missed some time a week or so ago, which opened up the door to a degree to give them an opportunity to not see Mac Jones have to share reps. Now, I don't know what he's going to be. We don't know. Everybody wants him to be Tom Brady next. Okay, that's fine. I also wanted to be Michael Jordan. How did that work out? So it's like it's one of those deals where it's good for him, good for the New England Patriots. You don't want Cam Newton sitting behind him, putting the pressure on a young quarterback to make him feel like every throw's got to be right. He's going to already have enough pressure facing real defenses come the regular season and not the preseason. So it's a lot that goes into these decisions that Belichick makes. And I trust that Belichick made the right decision because he's a hell of a coach.
Keyshawn, do you see a path back for Cam to play again in the NFL?
You know, I would think so. I mean, I would think so. Randall Cunningham came back after retirement and had a hell of a career. Michael Vick came back after doing a stint in prison and had a hell of a career. Vinny Testaverde retired, came back and had a hell of a few games and stuff. So people can come back and play. It's not the end-all, be-all. Cam Newton, you can't possibly tell me when you saw Cam Newton in the preseason, he didn't look like a totally different player than he did at times in the regular season a year ago. The New England Patriots were 2-1. Their start should have been 3-0. If they make that block on Bobby Wagner, they beat Seattle in Seattle, they 3-0. It's probably a different season. He doesn't catch COVID. It's probably a different season. So I would think that he probably will have another shot with somebody to play in the NFL. And I know everybody wants the first thing they want to do is say, oh, he's 32 years old. He's got to back up. Well, what do you mean he has to back up? He's just getting to a point where nowadays these quarterbacks are playing in their late 30s and early 40s and still having hell of a career. So I think one of the things he has to do is decide if football is important enough to him that he wants to play, because I think it's going to be really hard to be unvaccinated in this climate and catch on to a team, because you can clearly see that is a part of why people are making decisions to part ways with players. They're not telling you that, but we're not stupid either.
Well, the players, I agree with you. The Players Association says that's wrong, is mad about it. Do you understand why teams would use that as part of their decision?
I do. I do understand that. And to be honest with you, I don't blame any organization, any team, any corporation, any business for that matter. Think about it this way. If you have kids and your kids may have an underlying condition and you don't know, or something along those lines, and you go out to hire an individual to look after your child, and that particular person is not vaccinated and dealing with your children every single day, and your rules and protocol is, hey, I'm looking for somebody who's vaccinated to be able to do that so I don't have to worry about something, you're probably not going to hire that person. And that's the same way you have to look at corporate America, and you have to look at the NFL. If somebody, you know, who's non-vaccinated to a degree all of a sudden contracts COVID and spreads throughout the organization, it shuts things down. The owners now have to forfeit their game and lose money and all of those sort of things. So I get it. I understand it. Is it right to tell somebody that they have to do that? No, it's not necessarily right. It's not necessarily wrong. It's your own decision on whether or not you want to be vaccinated and be able to not only protect yourself but protect others. If you don't believe in the science, then you don't believe in the science. I'm vaccinated. I believe in the science. I listen to the dudes with white coats and pins in their pocket. I don't listen to somebody on the internet talking crazy. No, I don't. I listen to science and professionals. So that's just me. And the NFL wants to protect their bottom line.
And Keyshawn, I mean, in the NFL, if you're not available, if your availability is in question, isn't that a huge detriment to anyone that wants to play professional football?
That's a detriment to anybody in life if you're not available. If I hire you to take care of my pool and you can't be there, my pool's going to be dirty. How am I ever going to go swimming?
Can't have a dirty pool. You can't. It's Keyshawn Johnson, host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. You had a conversation with Nick Saban, and I find it interesting because I'm an SEC guy, so I watch a ton of Alabama. And over the years, they've had somebody good at every position. But they really have not produced an NFL quality quarterback since Kenny Stabler. Now they got three with big years, with Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Mac Jones. Do you think there's anything to the argument that Alabama has so many good players that it makes their quarterbacks look better than they are?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, it's all based individually, right? We've had a slew of them at USC, and none of them outside of Carson Palmer really lived up to the college potential projected into the pros. I mean, you know, so it's one of those deals where it just happened to fit the college system and it didn't translate into the pros, whether it was A.J. McCarron or Greg McElroy anybody prior to, I can't even think of some of the other names, but Sims or some of these other guys that they had, it just probably didn't translate to the pro game. Doesn't mean that they wasn't good in college. It just means that it didn't fit what the pros were looking for. And that's at a lot of positions in the league. You see a lot of guys that light up the college ranks and then they get to the NFL and they forget how to play. It just happens. I mean, it has nothing to do. It's not Alabama curse or anything like that. I mean, you can go up and down the SEC and look at all the productive quarterbacks in the SEC. I mean, you can point to Florida, right? Florida, same thing. Who's ever been productive in Florida that's went to the NFL that was as productive as they were in college in the pros? Danny Werfel? Not a chance. Who else? Rex Grossman? Not a chance.
Shane Matthews?
I mean, I can go on and on and on. Shane Matthews? Not a chance.
Chris Leak?
I can go on and on. Tim Tebow? Not a chance. Chris Leak, not a chance. So you can pick many colleges that have success at positions, right? You look at Ole Miss at quarterback. Outside of Archie Manning and Eli Manning, what other quarterbacks came through Ole Miss that I can think of?
If you know them,
I don't.
Yeah. I understand. Let me ask you one question before I get you out of here. I always wonder this when somebody shifts their careers and starts getting up at 6 a.m. Are you used to it yet?
Get up at 6 a.m.
Well, I mean, like, the show starts.
You still sleep when I get up.
I mean, the show, though, are you used to getting up that early?
No. When I say you say 6 a.m., you still sleep. Man, I'm up at 2 a.m.
Man, I could not do that.
I'm up at 2 a.m. and in the studio at 3 a.m. right now because I'm on the West Coast. If I'm on the East Coast, I'm up at 4 and in the studio by 5.
Rock star. I've
been doing it for a while, though. This isn't, you know, it's like my first year. I've been doing it for, what is this, my fifth, sixth year now? Plus, I'm an early riser anyway, and I take care of my body, take care of myself. You know, I go to bed with my kids. I wake up with the birds. I mean, that's just, I've always been that way. I'm a go-getter. I don't let anything get in my way. And so I don't really look at it as you know, early, because if you get the proper rest and you go into bed and not trying to burn the candles on both ends, I think you'll be fine. See, you might be trying to burn the candle on both ends down in the South.
That's what we do sometimes. I'm sorry. Say, well, Keyshawn, you're doing a great job. And starting this Tuesday, Max will be joining Keyshawn. It'll be Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max mornings on ESPN Radio, 6 to 10 Eastern. Keyshawn, we appreciate the time.
All right, buddy.
All right, there you go. I like him, Jeff. I'm not going to lie. You know, everybody tries to play it cool. I enjoy talking to him because I think he does a good job. So there you go, Jeff. I knew you wanted to know that. Thousands have been affected by Hurricane Ida. and they urgently need support. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster. And don't forget, week one of college football, we're going to give our thoughts on that next, but not before I give a little shout out to my good buddies at DoorDash. Because it's DoorDash here, and it's a summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. If you need a nightcap, $10 off. You got a cough? I'll give you relief for less. You want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. It's Dash Pass for free. Get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass and the DoorDash app, and stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. We are a handful of hours away from the true kickoff to college football. What is ahead? That's next here on the Max Kellerman Show.
The beginning of the season. Oh, man, I want to be in that moment. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Mike Greenberg, and I'm ready.
This is Mina Kimes, and you know my Seahawks are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Texas A&M Aggies are ready.
This is Ryan McGee, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Not because we're coming on, but because of the intro to that song. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt Jones, Jeff Dickerson. We are in for Max. You know, I had not heard. I don't think I realized what they just said on SportsCenter, which was. Wait a minute. Somebody's telling me ABBA will release the first new album in 40 years. This is not ABBA, is it? No, okay.
No.
Oh, this is Weezer. Well, that's ABBA for a new generation. But, Jeff, you this story about the NBA players who aren't vaccinated, basically they're going to have to fly differently in different parts of the plane, eat in different parts of the restaurant, and stay in different parts of the hotel from their vaccinated teammates. You got to think most of the players are like, I'm just going to get a vaccine because I don't want to do all that stuff.
I mean, I would hope so. What an incredible hassle. What an incredible hassle it is for those players, for the other players, for the teams that have to go through all this nonsense of separating them on the flights and the hotels and the restaurants. And you know, same thing on these NFL facilities, Matt. I mean, if you're unvaccinated, you have to wear your mask everywhere. There's only certain places you can go, people you can interact with who are not on the field. I just don't understand like what the upside would be. It is just so much more your life is so much more difficult. And they're doing this, you would think, right, to make your life difficult to the point where you would just say, okay, I'm going to get the vaccine and do whatever it takes so I can be part of a normal team experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you would think. And I think if you have one or two guys that don't do it, it's got to have a little effect on camaraderie. I mean, you're basically, they're walking around doing their own thing. So that'll be interesting to see. Those are the strongest rules we've seen yet, and we'll see how it plays out. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's time to talk a little college football. It kicks off tonight. There are 16 games. So here's what I thought we would do. Most of these games are not games that I would say are marquee games. So the question is, I'm going to read you a game, and Jeff and I are going to decide, can we tell you one thing about this game? Just one thing. And if we can't, then that means you can probably skip it.
Okay.
7 o'clock on ESPN Plus, the Citadel against Coastal Carolina. Jeff?
Coastal Carolina, the Mullets. I can tell you a lot about Coastal Carolina coming off that magical season last year with, is it Jamie Chadwell, I believe, is their head coach?
Who knows? But I'll tell you this, when people have magical seasons, the next year the magic goes away. They'll win this game, but they're not going to have the year people think. And the Citadel, that's a hard place to go to school. Long Island is playing Florida International. I don't know how those teams even got to know each other. Do you know anything about either of those?
I know nothing about the current Long Island program or the FIU program. Sad to say.
I didn't know Long Island was a school. right? Like, that's it. I thought it was just a description. I didn't realize that that was an actual place. Good luck to them. Boise State, 7 o'clock on ESPN against Central Florida. Central Florida, a six-point favorite. I know this is probably the best game all year between two non-Power 5 schools.
And as you told us earlier, and I'll steal your nugget, whoever loses this game, basically their playoff chances go out the window. So there you go.
Out the window. You're already gone. Western Illinois is going to play Ball State, a game for the heart of David Letterman, who went to Ball State. Any thoughts?
Oh, the Western Illinois Leathernecks against the Ball State team out of the MAC?
The Ball State team.
I mean, this is our college – by the way, this is our College Game Day audition. In case people were wondering, we are auditioning for College Game Day right now here on the Max Kellerman Show.
Wagner, which I don't know where Wagner is. Where's Wagner? Do you know?
Is Wagner in Georgia?
Could be. They play Buffalo, which is a natural rival for Wagner in Georgia. It's where is it, you said? Staten Island.
I was close.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. You're close. Staten Island, Georgia, it's the same people. It's the biggest spread of the night. Buffalo is a 43.5-point favorite.
Whoa. I mean, I don't think Buffalo is the same since the Mack brothers have left. But I they must have reloaded after Khalil and Darius said goodbye to the Buffalo program.
Weber State will channel the ghost of Harold the Show Arsenault to go to Utah tonight. Ooh. Utah ranked 24th. Utah is always good, and always. No one watches them play or knows they're good.
Unless you live on the West Coast, even then you probably are saying, I'm going to pass on the Utes. But they're good, and I have a feeling Utah wins big tonight.
Well, I was going to try to get through all these, but they're telling me I won't, so I'll go to some special ones. The Duke's Mayo Classic, East Carolina, Appalachia State. Do you like Duke's Mayo, and which team better embodies that mayonnaise?
Don't think I've ever had Duke's Mayo. I'm a big mayo guy, especially on hamburgers. Very underrated. I don't think I'm a Duke's Mayo guy. I will go with East Carolina for no other reason.
One of the most fun campuses if you're like into doing things. East Carolina's a great place. Ohio State goes to Minneapolis to play the Fighting Myron Metcalfs. Who you got?
I've got Ohio State big as they usher in the post-Justin Fields era, yes.
And then the game I'm going to watch, Tennessee, the most irrational fan base in all of sports, plays Bowling Green. Bowling Green, this is not the Bowling Green in Kentucky. It's the Bowling Green in Ohio. Bowling Green is ranked as the second worst team in Division I college football.
Because I asked you before the show in a joking manner, do we watch Tennessee get upset tonight by Bowling Green? You said no. Not because Tennessee's good, but because Bowling Green is very, very bad.
Bowling Green is awful. I've been to Bowling Green. You literally have to go under a bridge to get into town, and it says, "Welcome to Bowling Green. Happiness awaits." And I didn't find that that was true.
False
Coming
advertising.
Up, Josh Beckett. We had a caller say that Josh Beckett made him mad. He had a personal interaction with him that made him irrationally hate him. Have you ever had a Keith Hernandez moment? Have you ever had a moment where you ran into an athlete and they did something that frustrated you? Maybe they didn't give you a snow cone. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can let us know. The Max Kellerman Show is on ESPN Radio, and it's presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Have you ever had a bad athlete interaction that was more silly than angry? It's next on Max Kellerman.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Matt Jones, Jeff Dickerson in for Max, 888-SAY-ESPN. We're talking about random interactions you've had with athletes where maybe didn't go as well as you want. I've got one before we get started here. I was down in the Bahamas watching a little basketball. It was a college basketball tournament. Went to the blackjack table, Jeff, and Thad Matta and Roy Williams were there. So I was like, yeah, let's play blackjack with these two coaches. Played for a while. I think people were happy. There was, you know, drinks served, not by me, but for other people. And at one point, Thad Matta just looked at me and said, "Can I borrow $200? And I figured, and you know, and
that's
I was
how
like,
I thought this conversation was going to go.
Well, I mean, I think he had lost so much, he was out of money, and he didn't want to go back to the room. Now, my theory was, you know Roy Williams, and he's right next to you. And, like, he's got a lot more money than I do, so why don't you ask Roy Williams? But he didn't. He asked me. So So I gave Thad Mata $200. He starts playing blackjack. Night goes on. All of a sudden, I want to go back to my room. But how do you look at Thad Mata, former Ohio State coach, and say, can I have my $200?
It's a tough one, yeah.
I was like, hey, coach, I think I'm going to go back up. And he goes, all right, yeah, I'll pay you back. And he gave me $100. And I was he only gave me $100. And I felt too weird about it, so I just went back to the room. So I gave a loan that I'll never see again to Thad Mata.
Interest real. Now, maybe he just, in all the excitement –
no, I think he genuinely – he wasn't trying to stiff me. I think he
just forgot how much you lent him probably.
But,
right?
I couldn't go – you know, I couldn't go, like, ask him. I couldn't be like, hey, where's the other hundy? You know, I just had to kind of let
– 100 short, coach.
I just kind of had to let it go and say, what are you going to do? So what about you? Have you had one of these? Jeff, you ever had one?
I mean, most of my experiences have been pretty positive. I got a fist bump from Little Wayne once.
Oh, that's good.
Outside the Edward Jones Dome after Illinois won their semifinal game against Louisville in the 2005 Final Four. And the best part was, I knew who Little Wayne was, but all my friends were like, who is that? And he was high-fiving everybody. It wasn't just me, right? And I guess he was just an Illinois fan because of D. Brown or something. And he walks up to me. He's like, yeah, man, Illini. He's got his, you know, little camouflage on, gold teeth and everything, tattoos. I give him a big fist bump. I'm like, yeah, Little Wayne. So
did you say that to him?
Yeah.
Did you go,
yeah, Little Wayne.
Yeah, Little Wayne.
Go, yeah, Little Wayne.
My friend's, yeah, like, Little Wayne.
My friend's,
you
like,
go,
who's Little
Wayne?
Wayne? Who's Little Wayne? I go,
that.
Oh, just wait. You'll know one day who Little Wayne is. And who was proven correct on that one, huh?
You know, what's funny. Lil Wayne was on a music podcast, told the same story about you. And it was really
There was this guy that said my name. He was super enthusiastic about me celebrating Illinois.
I want to go to the callers, but I do want to tell one more. You remember, hey, Raj, you will remember this. You remember when Drake came to Kentucky's Big Blue Madness and shot the air ball?
Oh, sure.
You remember that?
Yeah, the curse.
So he was flying in, and I was in the back. And somebody just looked at me and said, are you picking Drake up at the airport? And I was like, wasn't planning on it. You know, I mean, I don't know him. Don't know what he's coming in on. Not sure how I would get to him. And they were like, well, I think I heard it was you. And I was like, that can't be what you've heard. You know, I'm just here. And they said, well, fine. If you don't want to pick him up, I'll pick him up. And I've always thought that was I missed my opportunity. Ooh. To go pick Drake up at the airport. And maybe that's why I ended up shooting the air ball in the layup line, Raj, was because he didn't get picked up by me in my car.
You should have picked him up. I'm sure you could have got a verse on one of his albums, man. You could have laid one down. I would give you 8 bars. You got 8 bars for me, don't you?
That's 200 grand, 8 bars.
I got at least 6 bars. I don't know if I have 8. But is it Kanye who's like mean to all these rappers are angry at him? That's why I don't give any of my raps away. I don't want them taken from me like Kanye did to Soulja Boy. Rory is – I don't even know what I'm talking about. 888-SAY-ESPN. Rory is in North Carolina. Rory, go ahead.
Yeah, I was at a charity dinner that my family wanted to happen to be the second year in a row, for Owen Daniels. And he brought along Arian Foster the second year around. And we – unfortunately, Arian Foster, who we loved, I believe he was undrafted, he just was on his phone the entire time texting and maybe got 2 or 3 words out of him. While, you know, Owen Daniels is such an awesome guy, great tight end, and it just really put a bad taste in my mouth. And not to
what
mention,
did you expect him to
do?
I mean, Rory,
the following year.
Rory, I'm sure you're a wonderful person, but did you expect Arian Foster to see you and be like, dude, I get to meet Rory? This is awesome. Like, me and Rory get to hang? Like, I mean, you had to expect it probably wasn't as exciting for him as it was for you.
No, of course not. However, when it's just you and 3 other people being my family and Owen Daniels and Arian Foster, you would think there would be a little bit more interaction. But no, I get that.
Yeah, that's fair. It's probably a little awkward. I appreciate the call. I like these stories. I like to hear, Jeff, when people talk to other people in weird situations.
I once had to give a ride back to the Detroit Tigers team hotel to the late, great Ernie Harwell. Remember Ernie Harwell?
Oh, yeah, the announcer.
Legendary,
right.
Hall of Fame broadcaster. He missed the team bus back to the hotel, and I was some young reporter for ESPN covering a White Sox game. He's like, excuse me, young man, can I possibly get a ride back to my hotel? I was like, Mr. Harwell.
Was he like a king? Like, who talks like that?
I'm like, yes. I mean, he had the great voice, you know. He had the little skipper's hat on. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. So I run to my car. I clean my car off, you know, like really, like clean all the, throw all the paper away and like all the napkins and everything. And I gave Ernie Harwell a ride back to the team hotel.
That's a great moment. Well, let's see. Do we have one of these quickly? I'll tell you what, Bill in Minnesota, I got 30 seconds. Give me a quick story on Paul O'Neill.
When I was a kid in Cedar Rapids back in 82 or 83, single-A Cedar Rapids Reds gave out a little program so you could get autographs from everybody. I was going around, everybody getting autographs, go up to Paul O'Neill, and he says, oh, I don't sign autographs. You got to get. I have this bat boy do it for me. So a couple years later, when all these guys make it to the pros, I like that story.
I appreciate the call, Bill. I like that story. If you're sitting at home right now with a Paul O'Neill autograph, it ain't him. There's your lesson for today. Jeff Dickerson, thank you very much for your time. I will be back here tomorrow with Joe Fortenbaugh. It is the Max Kellerman Show. It's been a wonderful time. We'll see you next time on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.